passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And we all welcome you in middle of the week. And we are not going to waste a lot of time today because we have an important guest waiting. He's only the most talked about player in the SEC right now, a Heisman candidate, the great quarterback at LSU, Jaden Daniels. And what a year he is having. Some say carrying his team on the back. I'm sure he's too humble for that. We talked to Coach Kelly the other day, and high praise from the head coach at LSU. Let's say hello to the quarterback, Jaden Daniels. Jaden, welcome back to our show. Good afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to see you again. We talked to you last year. Things were just starting to happen, and I know that there is a lot ahead, but how would you describe the first 7 weeks of this season?
I would say it's like a roller coaster, up and down. You know, we have two losses. It's not something that we're proud about here. But, you know, we found a lot of success throughout the first half of the season.
You're right about the two losses, but what I think a lot of LSU fans are excited about is what we've seen recently. I mean, there have been some really brutal games, but you and your teammates have managed to pull it out. A game this week, of course, against Army, a bye week, and everybody knows what is after that. But in terms of your own play, I know that you're never happy when you don't get the win, but how do you feel about your performances so far?
Yeah, I mean, just the work that I put in throughout the off season. You know, I'm happy to get to show on Saturdays. You know, I'm happy that my teammates are able to go out there and, you know, perform because they put in so much work too. You know, I'm just happy that, you know, we found a way to start humming on offense. You know, we just got to keep it going.
Jaden, certainly, I just literally read a story as you were coming on comparing what you're doing this year to Joe Burrow 4 years ago. I know that's not really your goal to be compared to anyone, but you want to lead this team to success. But you have been just absolutely explosive. Is there anything different that is happening today versus maybe a year ago?
Yeah, I mean, just the explosive plays we're able to create within the offense, you know. Another year in the system helps out a lot. You know, we obviously we're going out there and we're excited to play. You know, me being able to just throw the ball to the receivers and they can create explosive plays, be accurate. And, you know, just the running game that we have, the O-line, the camaraderie we have, you know, everybody coming back and, you know, everybody familiar with each other, familiar with the staff, you know, helped out a lot this offseason and on Saturdays too.
Most of us are just fans watching and doing this interview, but when we watch you, it seems like you create a lot. I know that maybe it's not always what it appears, but take us through the procession as you're developing a play. I mean, what are you looking for? And because you seem like you make a lot of things out of nothing sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I got to go through my reads, obviously, because, you know, a receiver can open fast. You know, sometimes I might have to hang on a little bit. It might take a hit in the pocket. But, you know, there's times that, you know, we're all human and people are going to get beat. You know, I love my old line and how great they've been playing. But, you know, sometimes they're going to give something up or, you know, miscommunication or, you know, defenders are going to beat the old line at some point in time. So, you know, it's something that's my time to shine, you know, where I'm able to step up in the pocket and create something, you know. I pride myself on no negative yards, try to limit that, and no turnovers. So, you know, try to limit those type of things. So, yeah, I just want to help out. I want to do my 1-11th, you know, to help out the guys, too, when the time comes.
Jaden, it's so interesting to watch the progression, though, because, I mean, we were watching the Missouri game a couple weeks ago, and suddenly it looks like you're about to get hit for a loss, and then you create something. I mean, I know it's hard to ask somebody to describe their own running ability, but you have a reckless style.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to explain. You know, I just, when I'm in it and the game is flowing, if I see something, you know, that's something I've been doing since a young age, was, you know, to be able to use my legs to create explosive plays. Sometimes I amaze myself at how I get out of things. You know, other times, you know, I try to might do a little bit too much and might get away with it and try to limit that. But, you know, sometimes I surprise myself on film of what I could do with my legs.
You mentioned you've been doing it. I mean, obviously you've been playing organized football for a long time, but it looks like, you know, a couple of kids on the playground and all of a sudden you're gone. Do you visualize it? Do you see certain things? I realize you're being chased down, and you have to make, you have to create. You also look like you're not afraid to get hit at all. I mean, you are a feared runner when you're moving that ball.
Yeah, I mean, you got to visualize stuff. Obviously, you know, going in there, and, you know, obviously talking with the offensive coordinator stuff, see up top, you know, we were able to communicate, and this is what they see, this is what I see. You know, we roll from there. You know, everybody is on the same page, and, you know, when I'm running the ball, I'm not a fear runner. I don't fear really anything, but, you know, you just got to be more smart sometimes.
Jaden, talking to Jaden Daniels, I know the right answer here is all you're interested in is your team, and I believe that. But your coach mentioned to me Monday about he thinks you should be heavily considered for the Heisman Trophy. I realize that's a long way off, but when you have to hear some of that, you have to see your name at or near the top. When you see that, what do you think about it, and what do your friends say about that?
I mean, I'm more humbled with it. All my friends talk about, so obviously, you know, they're going to push me for it. But, you know, it's just an honor to be able to be considered in a prestigious award, honestly. That's something when I grew up that, you know, you watch the Cam Newtons and, you know, the RG3, Lamar Jackson, Johnny Manziel, those guys win that award. And, you know, as a little kid, you want to win that award too at some point. So, you know, I'm blessed that I'm able to be a part of that conversation. You know, just got to finish the season strong and let the cards play out.
Jaden, while you're playing, we get reports on you about every week. Your uncle, Derek from California, calls us, and he said the family was down at Tiger Stadium the other day, and I know everybody is proud of you, but we feel especially proud to be able to get family reports from him.
And they're crazy. You know, they came out here. They always support me, no matter if it's from back home or, you know, they're able to come out here. You know, they're always going to support me to the fullest. And, you know, I love them for that.
Well, we're proud of you, and we really appreciate you making time. I know it's a busy schedule for you, but you be well. We'll be watching this weekend, and I hope to catch up soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Jaden Daniels, the star quarterback at LSU, getting us started here on this Wednesday. We'll take a short break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We start with some headlines. Brock Bauer still in the news. Kirby Smart saying today, no timetable. And unlikely that we'll see a timetable soon. This is what the receiving corps looks like after Brock Bowers. I mean, there's some great receivers there. It's just a matter of how they are utilized and how they step up. Alex Scarborough, Bama's back. Where have we heard that before? Seems like the early part of the season never happened. Schedule definitely favors the Tide. They're prohibitive favorites this weekend. Pretty big favorite against LSU, even a bigger favorite on the road at Kentucky, and doesn't look like anybody's going to stop the Tide, right? Jack Swarbrick speaking yesterday, talking about collective bargaining for college players. Okay. Got to create something new, says the outgoing ND AD. Angel Reese seems to be enjoying NIL. I don't think she would appreciate some of the comments made by Joe Manchin yesterday. She's celebrating a deal with Shaq and Reebok. Good for her. We have a lot of guests today. It is basketball day here on the show. Dennis Gates, Jerry Stackhouse, Bruce Pearl from Auburn, Matt McMahon from LSU, and Chris Jans returns to the show. And your phone call is right here. And Daryl starts us off.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey, Daryl.
You know, it seems to me like those that are saying Georgia can't win without Brock Bowers are the same ones that said Georgia can't win with Stetson Bennett.
Some of the same
people. I mean, Paul, you heard what Kirby said yesterday. I mean, anybody, all you got, Paul, we've been down this road before, okay? We was without George Pickens, our best receiver, for an entire year. Seemed to get by pretty good, okay? We were without Jalen Carter last year for several games. Seemed to do just fine. We were without our sack leader, Adam Anderson, for the rest of the year, a couple of years ago. Lost him for the eternity. Seemed to get along just fine. I mean, we got Oscar Delp, who's what? Had 18 K. This ain't Georgia's not Alabama, Paul. Okay, we play our damn players. All right, Kirby Smart signs top three recruiting classes for a damn reason. Okay, we don't wait till a player gets hurt to go out there and play the other guy. Oscar Delp has a ton of experience. Okay, and we don't blame losses on players being out. We don't do that at Georgia. All right, that's not how we roll. You heard what Kirby Smart said yesterday. We're going to continue to kick ass just like we're doing, okay? Just like we have done already. That's what we're going to continue to do. Brock will be back, but until Brock comes back, we're going to continue to win. We got Lovett. We got Rah-Rah Thomas. We got Mike. We got Jack Saint. We got McConkey. We got plenty of offensive weapons, okay? We got Deshaun Edwards. We got Carson Beck. And you know what? There's not nobody on our schedule that's going to beat us. Not nobody. Until Brock Bowers gets back. Write it down. Kirby said it. It's going to – hey, Kirby's the king, right? 40 out of 41, Paul. You saw what all happened. We played Ohio State. Marvin Harrison Jr., their best receiver, top receiver, one of the best in the country, went down. They didn't fold tent. They didn't quit like Alabama did, okay? What did they do? They might have lost, but they lost by missing. They ran out of time and missed a field goal. It wasn't because their number one receiver went down. That's what great football teams do, Paul. See ya.
Stacy is up next. Hello, Stacy.
Roll Tide, Paul. Dara, shut up. But in reference to what Dara said, Paul, and you might agree with me on this, Paul, in reference to what he said, us as Alabama fans, we need Georgia to win out. Even though we control our own destiny as far as winning these games to get, you know, to the SEC championship, if Georgia loses, what are our chances of going to the college football playoff? So we need to root for Georgia. We need Georgia to win. And that's my take on it. But as far as Darryl running his mouth, shut up. So how do you feel about what I said, Paul? Do you agree?
You know, you're right. With one loss right now, I don't think it would matter, but it would certainly help for Alabama to beat the number one team in the country in Atlanta.
I just wonder because, like I said,
I think they'll get there anyway. But
okay, well, I'm just saying, as an Alabama fan,
good point. Thank you very, very much. Bob is in Norman, Oklahoma. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Paul. I'm, a Boomer Sooner guy, so I'm fairly new to your program, and I would like to get a little extra knowledge on Heather and Laura Rutledge. Where does Heather get all of that football knowledge?
Well, Heather, to start with, is incredibly bright, and she studies it more than anybody I know, so she gets it from hard work. Laura is a little bit interesting. Laura has been on the sidelines for a number of years, and I think a lot of the knowledge comes from observation. She's married to a professional athlete, so I think she's exposed to a lot.
I also want to state when you and Laura are on there together, it's one of the most entertaining programs on TV because you all are like two high school kids.
Well, Bob, I'm glad you said that because we get a lot of criticism from people that think we act too goofy. But you know what?
Friday
afternoon is it's to me, it's just going back in time and let her hair down. Dennis Gates, one of the top new coaches in the SEC, will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, a lot of things happening in Birmingham today. Our crew there getting ready to talk to Missouri's coach and players. PB, take it away.
Paul, of course, not just any head coach. It's Coach Dennis Gates joining us right now. What a great, successful first season over there in Como. Nick Honor, man, you are old hat over here, man. You know, like, sometimes you see all these bright-eyed, bushy-tailed players, and you're just like, hey, no, you need to stand over here. This is what you need to do. What's this like?
I mean, it's special to be here. After the season, I kind of reflected and realized, you know, why not come back to Missouri? I love the staff, love the school, so why not run it back for another year? Mm.
Coach Gates, it's hard to improve upon last season. You think about the fact that you finished seven spots higher than they projected in the preseason. You had guys like Sean Easter lead the league in steals, didn't make the defensive team. Do you come into this year with a little chip on your shoulder still?
Well, for us, it's resetting ourselves, but more importantly, having confidence in what we're building every day. And our guys do a great job of not reading what the national media says at the beginning of the season, because they didn't predict UConn to be a national champion. They didn't predict Alabama to win outright the conference title as well as regular season. So for us, resetting but trying to find out a way that we can continue to get better is important. We're still in the infant stages of building the program, and we're going to take it one step at a time.
And Nick, you alluded to that, coming back for a purpose, I'm assuming. What kind of, I don't want to say chip on your shoulder, everyone talks about that, right? Everybody tries to create that, but what was the motivation? What was going through your mind throughout this summertime?
Well, last year we just felt like we fell short. We accomplished a lot. We definitely could have done a lot more. So this year, I mean, it's Phoenix or nothing. So we're just locked in on that, and we're just going to take it game by game.
You know, Coach Gates, I think about what you brought in this year. I mean, the plethora of players, whether that be transfers like Caleb Grill, who can shoot the cover off the ball, whether it's physical, aggressive guys like Tanjay. You have guys that are a little bit more gritty, but also guys that are extremely skilled. Who are some of the guys you're most excited about this year?
Well, I'm excited about some of our returners, because I saw them get better, too. Not only the guys that are here, but Caleb Brown, who's improved. Aiden Shaw, who's improved and gotten a year older. I'm excited about those guys. In addition to our new guys, I'm excited. We have a list of them now. We have a list
really
of
good.
Them. But
really
we have
good.
Tamar Bates. His experience from Indiana is going to help us a lot. John Tonjay from Colorado State. Caleb Grill, obviously, from Iowa State. Connor Vanover, who's here with us. Oral Roberts, and has SEC and Pac-12 experience. Those guys are going to be crucial for us, because we're going to lean on their experiences to help us mold our identity. Last year during this time, no one thought Kobe Brown was a first-round draft pick. Yeah. No one thought Damoy Hodge would be an NBA player. No one thought we would finish fourth. So it's important that we continue to just dive in day by day and try to get us better individually. Combine that with what our team goals are and make sure our team is moving forward.
Yeah, and Dennis, I don't know if a lot of people were ready for Como being a true home court environment. And that place was rocking. We see that with Faroe Field, with Drink a little bit right now too, but how has that helped, and how are you getting this student base energized?
Well, our fans, the tradition of our institution begins with our fans. It's a rich tradition, and no matter the sport, our community, the city of Columbia, has been a unbelievable sports town with sports fans. I just thank the leadership of our athletic director, Desiree Reed Francois, her vision, but also our president, Moon Choi, our board of curators. They have done a tremendous job during this time of rebranding, rebuilding, and connecting us with our past tradition, our past success, and making sure that we can build a home court advantage. And our students, they have built the memories with us. They have made Mizzou Arena a great place
Look
to play.
Look at Nick smiling over there.
A lot of passion in that.
The place has grown, right? I mean, you know, when did you feel, was there a moment last year when you're like, all right, this is what it's all about?
It was interesting, because usually our non-conference, it wasn't really like too many people there. But then as we started winning, we played Kansas, who's our rival. We really seen everybody come out. And then what was impressive was after that, multiple sellouts after that. So it progressed as the season went on, and I mean, we're excited for another year.
You know, I'm curious about some of the new guys, but in particular, you've got a guard who I've heard a lot of good things about in Ant Robbins there. Mm-hmm. He's shifty, mm-hmm. he's aggressive, he's quick, but you're kind of the OG on the team. Mm-hmm. So I take mm-hmm. your assessment a lot better than yes, everybody sir. Else. Tell me about his basketball game and you guys going at it this year.
Oh, man, I can't say enough about Ant Robinson. Obviously, he's from Florida.
Yeah, so he's pretty good.
Seeing him every day, seeing him grow, and me helping him out, that's my rookie right there. So I'm just taking care of him, and he's going to be good for years to come. So I'm proud with his success.
Coach, you know how to build a team, and you've talked about it last year and this year, coming into this year with so many newcomers. What are the keys to that? Like, what are you looking for, and how do you do that? Because you do it on a level that very few can.
Well, the chief architect of building the program is none other than my mentor,
yes, sir.
Leonard Hamilton.
Coach Hamilton.
So I have to continue to make sure I call his phone at about 2 a.m., 3 a.m.
And he answers on the first ring,
right. Gives me great advice. So that connection, that relationship means a lot to me. And just the guidance. But ultimately, I truly believe we have the right staff in place that also adheres to what the vision is. We want to have unbelievable people in our program, top to bottom, from our managers to our coaches. And our coaches do a wonderful job relaying the message, making sure the guys understand our core values of friendship, love, accountability, trust, discipline, unselfishness, enthusiasm, and toughness, and making sure our guys are developing every day in different ways, not just basketball, but if we can develop these kids off the court, we feel that their basketball will head in that same direction.
Mm-hmm. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention your upcoming recruiting class that everybody is so high on. but let's combine that with the fact that college basketball has changed so much, but you have decided to still spend time not only on transfers but getting a quality recruiting class. What's your assessment of the state of college basketball, the transfer portal, NIL as it is currently?
Well, you have to look post-COVID. COVID has allowed the portal to look more attractive because there are fifth-year guys. The portal has done that. So now the matriculation of the portal kids are going to go down less than 50% because there's no more COVID kids around.
Good stuff.
And fifth-year guys. So those stats are going to be looking a little less attractive, and you're not going to know who you're getting. Not only that, those portal kids, because of the NCAA rules of having a one-time transfer rule, they've already expired their one-time transfer. So you have to try to figure out and manipulate what the numbers would tell you regarding recruiting. This is the best class to recruit high school kids for the future of your program because the portal's not gonna look the same. You'll still have people matriculate and decide to go elsewhere. But I'm into developing young talent, and we wanna do it that way. You look at the NCAA tournament, you have to recruit and evaluate pros. You have to. And I think in our next two classes, we've been able to do that. The future is bright. But right now, we're still in the infant stages of building our program. Nationally, we have a presence, but also locally, I'm excited about where we are.
Just real quick, do you feel the expectation now after that year of last year? And you talked about how Missouri is a great basketball tradition in the school. I mean, it's got to be through the roof. Like, you got all eyes on you.
Expectation?
Yeah.
We're preseason bottom half of the conference.
Well, but listen, that's what they said last year.
But we're preseason bottom half.
So you use that
as motivation. I just look at it for what it is. When you look at top 25, it changes completely. I'm worried about how we grow. And not only that, how our fans was able to nurture and build a nest at Como and Mizzou Arena to allow our team the growth.
Right.
And nurturing our team's identity. And if our team identity moves in a certain way, our leadership moves in a certain way, we'll see how the season builds us.
Great answer, Coach.
I was going to say.
Great
little,
answer.
Little chip on your shoulder when you hear those numbers, Nick?
Most definitely. But it's like Coach Gates said, they put us where they feel like putting us. And we just got to earn our respect and take it. So.
Going to be fantastic. And then next time you guys go to Jamaica, can we all get the invite? We'll all bring the camera crews down there. Was that a fun trip?
Yeah, it was a good trip. Good team bonding trip. Good time with the guys.
But that's where those guys voted you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I just appreciate the parents of our program. I'll tell you that. I appreciate the parents of our program who believe in us, and obviously our recruits, their parents who believe in us. I'm just ecstatic with the partnership of the institution and the direction we're heading.
Good stuff.
It's incredible. 25 victories last year. Can't wait to see what's coming up this year. Maybe one day we'll go fishing as well, too. We got a lot more coming up on the Paul Feinbaum Show here from Birmingham.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Mike is up next. Hey, Mike, joining us from L.A. How are you?
Afternoon, Paul. Sorry I missed you this weekend in Knoxville. My son and I got to fly in and go to the game, and it was a beautiful weekend in Knoxville. Hope you had a good time.
Thank you. It was great.
So if Tennessee, clearly we're an underdog going into Alabama, and Joe Milton's going to have his hands full with the crowd in Alabama. But I was thinking about Daryl's call. If Tennessee was playing Georgia this weekend in Knoxville, what do you think the betting line would be?
I would say Tennessee would be a narrow underdog.
I do, too. And, you know, Daryl's talking about without Jaden Carter, without Stetson Bennett, Georgia's won. Look, Georgia's schedule, if Alabama had Georgia's schedule this year, they'd be undefeated and they'd go into the SEC championship undefeated. And without Brock Bowers, I don't think Tennessee even has a reason to be scared about Georgia. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, Tennessee's running game and how they would match up with Georgia.
Yeah, Mike, the difficulty of guessing that is not knowing what will happen with Tennessee against Alabama, against Kentucky, Missouri. So I really think we need more information because I just can't make up my mind on Tennessee yet. We'll start to be able to do that this weekend. John is in Chicago. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call and happy Wednesday to you, buddy. I have a comment and a suggestion. My suggestion is, well, Daryl and Mike are two in the wind now, but we need to make a Paul Feinbaum drinking game show called Whenever a Caller Mentions Brock Bowers, You Take a Shot. I think
John, I would be on the floor right now.
I know, buddy. I'm trying to help you get through the day.
Not a bad idea.
My comment is, for all the Kentucky fans out there, don't worry. In a couple weeks, basketball season's up, and you're going to be winners again. And that's all I got, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Andrew is in Arkansas. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Paul. I know I'm about the odd man out, but I was just concerned about my Razorbacks. Is it too early to throw the towel in on Razorback football and John Pittman and start looking toward basketball? Maybe we'll have a better chance there.
I'd say no for this reason. Look at what's ahead. Arkansas could win some of these games, and who's to say that they can't salvage this season? There's not a game left on the schedule Arkansas can't win.
But we probably won't go to a bowl or anything.
Well,
that's kind of what we've been hoping for out of Sam Pittman.
Yeah, you can. So you need six wins, and right now I see the possibility of six wins.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. By the way, I don't think it's that much of a reach when you consider how well Arkansas has played and lost. Jay is up next in Mobile. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Roll Tide, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Paul, I want to talk a little bit about Arkansas and South Carolina. Both of these teams that the guy that answered the phone, he was funny. He said, man, why you want to talk about these teams? They don't matter. But it's true. But anyway, both of these teams, they got veteran quarterbacks that decided to play their senior years, which money probably was a factor. And, well, I know it was in Spencer Rattler's case, but my point, Paul, both teams could easily be 5-2, but instead they probably won't even make a bowl game. But, Paul, I feel bad for the players that are playing because they're playing their butts off. But my question to you, if they were in the ACC or Pac-12, what do you think their record would be up to this point?
Well, Jay, it all depends on the schedule. But if they were in the Pac-12 and they opened up against Utah, Oregon, Washington, Southern Cal, they might not have a very good record at all. Those are really good teams. Thank you for the call. And Jace is in Augusta. Hello, Jace.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
First of all, why do you continue to take AC's calls? I mean, he doesn't bring anything to the show whatsoever.
Jace, that's a good question because there is no reason why I do that.
Right.
I'll think about that.
I just wanted to bring that up. And as far as Legend went yesterday, you know, he wrote us off with Bowers, you know, being out. You know what? All we do is reload at Georgia. And so, Legend, shut up. Close your mouth about Georgia. All right?
Mike is up next. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today, sir? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I called yesterday while I was drinking, and I obviously shouldn't have because I know you don't like to take drunk callers, but then you took Daryl today, so I'm thinking, well, this is wide open.
Mike, let me make it clear to everyone. We don't tell anyone what to do, but if you're drunk, come on down.
No, I'm not drunk.
You're always
drunk,
welcome here. There's no such thing as one too many on this show.
Paul, I've been calling you for years. I was the person told you about 7-8 years ago that that doggone swamp was like grandma's collard patch. Them Tennesseans were welcome to come down and get a mess anytime they want.
You're right.
And I feel the same way about them Georgia Bulldogs. You know, it's really going to be a good year. Did you ever think that this game would be like this 6 months ago?
No, I did not. Mike, thank you very much for the call. Really good to hear from you. Chris is in Virginia. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Very well, thank you.
I just wondered what your thoughts would be of, which I'm a Roll Tide guy, just Roll Tide, but I just wonder what your thoughts would be if Dabo and Clemson has a rough year, you think he'd be on the hot seat?
No, I don't. I mean, the man's won 2 national championships. He played for 4. He's been in the playoffs 5 times. And, you know, the only thing that can ever get Dabo Swinney in trouble is his mouth. He always says something completely stupid, as he has again this week. But as far as his coaching, he's still an elite coach. Thank you very, very much for the call. Sean is up next in South Carolina.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Sean.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Paul, I know you're an Alabama fan and love Alabama. So I want to say, because you broke my heart a couple of weeks ago when you're talking about person. So, I mean, there's no way for him to make it, but there is no way. What do you think about Alabama fans who win it all? I'm hoping they do. Do you think there's a clear ranking if they beat Georgia and pretty much win?
Well, Sean, Alabama right now has a really good path. Now, I mean, we showed the statistics earlier. I mean, they're a prohibitive favorite in every game. I mean, the lowest number on the board is 68%. So that now, if you play the odds, they'll get to Atlanta. So I mean, they are. This is not as predominant as maybe we would have seen a couple of years ago, but it's still pretty impressive for a team that has some very serious flaws. Thank you for the call. Really do appreciate it. Mike is up next. Oh, hey, Mike.
Yes, sir, Mr. Fabio. How are you, sir?
Very well.
It's not just, we're just saying they're reloading, you know. I mean, this guy is next to Superman. The Auburn Tigers, and I don't know why these Georgia fans are so cocky, Paul. Maybe
I think it comes, Mike, from winning a couple of championships and feeling like they are now in control of everything. That's how they feel. Brian is up next in Tennessee. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about Tennessee. I think Joe Milton might come out this time and our defense stand up, and we're going to beat Tennessee. Go Big Orange.
I think you're right. Alabama is going to beat Tennessee. That's not what you meant, though, is it? Slim is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Slim.
Thank you, sir. How you doing, brother?
Very well.
You know, Paul, Brock Bowers is a player. Everybody take a drink now. is a player that comes around once in a lifetime, man. This dude is bad to the bone now. And Daryl thinks that they can just jerk someone, you know, and put plug in there. It don't work like that, Daryl. Paul, let me ask you something. Bama scored 26 points against the most relative SEC teams this year. Now, they went and scored 26 or 27 to beat Tennessee this weekend. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, Alabama is limited. I mean, this is not an explosive team.
Okay. Now, and Tennessee is handicapped.
Yes, they are.
They're going to be lucky. They're going to have to score more than 20 points, which they've had trouble doing against competitive SEC teams. So it all comes down to me to who can make that explosive play and capitalize on it. And last thing, Bama, I went on the website, bro, and they saw all sorts of empty seats at Bryant-Denny. What's wrong? Paul, there's all sorts of seats empty.
So is
for this game.
Swim, did I miss the game? Has it already started?
Well, honey, it's getting ready to.
Well, we are exactly 4 hours away from four days away from the game. I think we still have a little bit of time.
Okay. Well, they better step up or we'll.
Swim, I'm not sure. I'm Bash is up next in Boulder.
Good afternoon, Paul Feinbaum. How are you doing today?
Well,
that is great to hear. I just want to say yesterday that was an excellent interview that you had with Major General Bowles, and I just want to start my phone call off by commending you on that.
Thank you.
Of course. And I just want to end this chapter. I am done with this whole AC like saga in my life. I'm moving on completely. And I just wanted to talk about the Colorado-Stanford collapse game over this past weekend.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.